Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how you minister to us. Lord, what a blessing it is to worship you. Our hearts are just filled, and we are filled with your joy, and your joy strengthens us. We thank you, Lord, for how you have worked in our hearts throughout the years as we look back to your influence and how you've been so kind and merciful to us. How you have spoken through your word to our hearts at times where we were crying out to you, seeking you. We opened your word and began to read, and then your spirit began to just minister to our hearts through your word. And we thank you for how you're teaching us, how you're guiding us through your word, and how your word is so powerful. Your word is perfect in restoring our souls. And that's how we feel, Lord. We feel very blessed that you are working in us, restoring us, and causing us to experience your will being worked out in our lives, causing us to experience you. We love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus, and I thank you for your love for me and for my brothers and sisters. And I pray, God, that you would pour out your blessing over us as we study your word. In Jesus' name, amen. One single thing that I'm going to say at this moment is words. Words. Words are powerful, for they have the power to build others up. They also have the power to tear others down. And whoever said sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, they really didn't know what they were talking about, because the fact is that words hurt. And God desires that we use our words in a way that pleases him and benefits others. How are you using your words? Proverbs chapter 10, verses 18 and 19, we see words used to lie, to slander, and to sin. We're picking up where we left off in our study as we've been studying through this wonderful book of Proverbs. And so tonight, we're going to be looking at the topic and the theme of words. So we see in verses 20, 21, 30, and 31, in addition to verses 18 and 19, as we group these verses together for our theme, we see how the righteous use words. And these verses give us a path to pursue so that our words would be means of help and not hurt to others. So first, let's look at examples of words that hurt. Verse 18, Solomon writes, "Whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool." Have you ever been lied about? Has anyone ever slandered you? That can be quite painful. Slander is to make false spoken statements that cause people to have a bad opinion of someone else. I asked, have you ever experience someone slandering you. But I also ask, have you ever slandered someone? You know that feeling inside of your heart. Now, speaking lies about someone or slandering someone, that is an effect, but there's a cause. There's a real cause to why people use their words to tear others down, to tear their reputation down, to what we might look at or think of in this light, a character assassination. Here Solomon says that the root behind it is hatred. Hatred. And the level of hatred that he describes is a little bit further than your initial hatred, I guess, if we could look at it this way. Have you ever felt hate in your heart towards someone? And in the moment when you felt that hatred, you were filled with anger. And in the moment, you said, I hate you. You ever say that to anyone? You have? So you know what I'm talking about. Oh, it could turn into a rage, and that those feelings are so powerful. Well, I'm not saying that that's good. But at least it was verbalized. It came out. And usually that's an emotional or an instant feeling that a person gets. And then they expose it. And then maybe after you have done, I have done, you say, why'd I say that? I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. Have you ever been there? This is a little bit different. This is further than that. This is, he says, that the root of these lies and the root of the slander is covering, hiding hatred. This is worse. And he says, whoever hides hatred, it's just going to be a natural byproduct, is if they hate somebody, they're going to lie about that person. They're going to slander that person. They're going to use their words to tear another person down. And it's because of hate. And he says, someone that, because of hate, they conceal that hate. But then, maybe in front of that person, hey, how you doing? Oh, yeah. And inside their heart, I hate you. And then behind their back, you know, I'd be careful around that individual. And then speak lies about them. You know, Proverbs chapter 26, verses 24 through 28. Let's turn there. Proverbs chapter 26 says this. Verse 24, he who hates disguises it with his lips and lays up deceit within himself. Think of how twisted hatred can be, because he describes a person who hates and disguises their hatred. They speak kind words about the person, or to the person rather. They're one way in that person's face. In verse 25 it says, when he speaks kindly, do not believe him. For there are seven abominations in his heart, though his hatred is covered by deceit. his wickedness will be revealed. Listen to what it says here. Before the assembly. I want to point out the hatred in a heart can be very, very damaging and devastating to the, we could say, opponent or the person that the hatred is towards. And obviously it's devastating because, as we've said, people who hate talk and tear other people's reputations apart to others and cause others to have in their minds a negative or bad image or thoughts about that individual. And so if someone's bound by hate, if that's in the heart of a believer, it should be dealt with. It should be dealt with, and it should be dealt with quick. Now, I have to believe that there's none of you here that hate anybody, because I love you, and love believes all things. I'm going to believe the best of you. But I don't know for certain, and this is where we are in the Scriptures. And not only that, there's always the potential to be offended, and that offense could turn into hatred, especially among the body of Christ. And certainly we don't want that to happen. And so the best thing to do is to deal with it. Why? Well, one of the things we know, one of the seven things that God hates is a lying tongue. God hates that we lie, and then the root of it is a hatred. So the hatred needs to be dealt with, because if it's not dealt with, God will deal with it. God will deal with you. So in light of knowing that God does not delight when his children have hate towards someone else and lies or slanders them, and also in light of the fact that that garbage eats up an individual, this doesn't only destroy the reputation of others, it really does a lot of damage to the individual. All that stress that comes with hatred and those types of feelings, they really do a detriment. They're detrimental to a person's well-being. It's best to confess that to the Lord and forsake it. And then mercy comes. That's what the Scriptures teach us. That if we confess our sin and forsake it, then we will find mercy. You know, another thing is that if a person doesn't deal with the sin of hatred that manifests itself in how a person speaks of someone else, eventually the truth will come out. As he says here, verse 26, though his hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness will be revealed before the assembly. One of the worst things is getting exposed. Have you ever been exposed or caught in a lie? Or have you ever said something about someone that's not true and then you've been called to the carpet on it? That's really embarrassing, isn't it? It could be quite humiliating. So it's always better to deal with the issues of the heart, as God brings conviction on the heart and the issue before he exposes the heart. That can be quite embarrassing. And so these are some thoughts to think about. Is there anyone that you have hatred towards in your heart? I believe and I hope that that's not true. There's some other consequences that happen. Not only will the individual be exposed, if they don't deal with that hatred. It says, whoever digs a pit will fall into it. He who rolls a stone will have it roll back on him. A lying tongue hates those who are crushed by it. And a flattering mouth works ruin. Sometimes people, in their attempt to damage other people, end up really ruining themselves. Hate is something you don't want to play with. To have hate in your heart is something that you must deal with. Now, on the contrary, love is a whole different matter. Now, love sometimes doesn't feel like love. And sometimes what is spoken in love hurts too. There's a big difference between words that are spoken motivated by hate and words that are spoken that are motivated by love. And words that are spoken that are motivated by love that don't feel like love are very helpful to the person who is wise and wants to do what is right. Another proverb is Proverbs 27, verse 5 and 6. And it says, open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. And he says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Remember that day that we read, and maybe we didn't read it together, that's not what I'm insinuating, but we read it. All of us have read that day where Judas went up and he kissed the Lord. And even the Lord said, Judas, I'll betray the Son of Man with a kiss. The kisses of an enemy are deceitful. But an open rebuke is better than secret love, and faithful are the wounds of a friend. Why do I bring this up? Because when we talk about words that please God and words that are helpful to others, I don't want to give the false impression that everything we always say to people has to always be nice and positive. And never offend anybody by your words. Oh no, don't do that. As I was preparing for today, I couldn't help but think of Jesus. And how Jesus, he is the perfect model of love. And yet, Jesus said some things that probably didn't feel all too loving. But they were motivated by love. Think of the time when there was that rich young ruler and he ran up to Jesus. And what must I do to inherit eternal life? He says, oh, you know the commandments. And he started to share the various commandments that were on this plane. Don't kill, honor your father and mother, etc. And the young man, he said, well, I've done all these things from my youth. I've done all these things. And then Jesus, he said, this one thing you lack. He says, go and sell everything that you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. And the young man had said of him that he had much, much riches, much wealth. And when he heard this, he couldn't part with his wealth to follow God. And so he said he left sorrowful. Jesus' words made him sorry. But it really wasn't what Jesus said. It really was that the man had an issue And the issue was that I'm moral, but when it comes right down to it, I love my possessions more than my Creator. And I'm not willing to part with my possessions for my Creator. And what did Jesus teach? If you're not willing to deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me, you're not worthy of me. And Jesus, he spoke and said some very strong things, and it's because of who he is. He's God. He's our Creator. He came here to tell us about our condition, the condition of humanity, that we are in a fallen, sinful state, destined to go to hell, and therefore he came to pave the way, to make a way for us to enter into the kingdom of God. But it's through complete commitment to him. But here's one example where Jesus' words, somebody by his words, hearing these words. Matter of fact, why don't we turn there? It's 19, that is Matthew chapter 19, verse 22. Matthew 19, verse 22, it said, but when the young man heard that saying, when he heard what Jesus said, he went away sorrowful. He went away sorrowful. When he heard what Jesus said, he went away sorrowful. So Jesus, what he said caused the man to be sorrowful, but again, it wasn't because of what Jesus said. It really was the condition of the man's heart. Or when you think of some things that Jesus said that are like an open rebuke, I draw your attention to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, Jesus said some pretty rough things here to a few different people. Look at verse 1, the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders. Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. He answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me as a gift to God, then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrite! Well, did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. How would you like to be on the receiving end of that? No? Yeah, that would be pretty harsh, huh? Now, Jesus, because these religious leaders were those who were leading the people, and they were leading the people in error, and when Jesus came, who was the creator of all, and they rejected him, and he saw how evil they were, certainly he stood up and said, what you're doing is wrong. But what motivated Jesus? Of course, it was love. Love for God and love for people. And yet he said some very harsh things. Now he said in verse 10, and when he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear and understand. Now what goes into the mouth defiles a man. Rather, not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Then his disciples came and said to him, Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are the blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into the ditch. Wasn't Jesus doing something? Even though he said some really harsh things about these folks, what was he doing? He was looking out for his disciples. He was identifying the Pharisees and the scribes, the religious leaders, for who they really were. That's a loving thing to do. If you love somebody, you'll protect them. And you might use words that are harsh or that that don't seem to be kind, but how can you describe evil people in any other way other than by what they're doing, the evil that they're doing? But then, listen to this. Peter, in verse 15, answered and said to him, explain this parable to us. And then Jesus said, are you also still without understanding? You still don't get it? Don't you get it? You don't get it? Verse 17 says, do you not yet understand? Etc. And the point of all these verses is that open rebuke is better than secret love. A rebuke is correction. And so we have to understand that there is a balance when we talk about using our words to help others. It doesn't always necessarily mean that everything we say to others will be kind or will be received in a kind way. But let me say this, that the words that will be used will be motivated by love. And although initially they might not feel like love, the reason is to help someone get into the right direction. Have you ever had a Christian brother or sister come and say, hey, brother, the way you're living or what you're doing, that is not right. And if you get involved with that, you'll be like a fool. You'll be foolish to get involved with that. That wouldn't be wise of you. I encourage stuff like that. When we see our brothers and sisters going in directions or doing things that aren't right, there's nothing wrong with saying something. That's a good thing, as long as it's done with love as the motive. And sometimes, some occasions, they demand that you take somebody aside and say, hey, can I talk to you? Other times, it has to be done in the moment. And if there are people around, it has to be said. Remember Paul and Peter, when Peter was playing the hypocrite? Peter was a very influential figure, and by his actions, he was leading and giving wrong messages to some of the Gentiles and some of the Jews. And Paul used his words. And right in front of everyone, he said, he addressed Peter, called him to the carpet, and he called him a hypocrite. No, it said he was playing the hypocrite. He was being a hypocrite. He was to blame. Sometimes that's loving. That's you, even though it might feel not like it's not loving, it is very, very loving. And so we look at how words are used to hurt in the negative sense with an evil heart, but also how words can hurt. But if they're motivated by love and the person receives, they can be helped and grow. Now, we also look at how words can get us into trouble. Have you ever gotten into trouble by your mouth? Look at verse 19 of Proverbs chapter 10. He says, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. That is so true. And the older I get, the more I realize how true that is. Seems like when I was younger, I was so free to speak. And then after a while of speaking, I think, why did I say that? I can't believe I said that about so-and-so, or I said this about so-and-so, and I said this. And there's no real good reason why. I don't know why I sinned. And I would say, God, forgive me. God, forgive me. And you learn to put a governor over your mouth, huh? The older you get, the more you learn to put a governor over your mouth. Hopefully, the younger we get it, the sooner we get it, the better off we are. There's nothing worse than that feeling of, man, again, why? Why did I say that about that person? And so he says, but he who restrains his lips is wise. New Living Translation puts it this way, and I love it. I think it's hilarious. It says, too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. Amen. Just a couple examples, a few examples of how words can not only hurt others, but also can hurt the individual. We look at examples of how words can help. Words can be of great value. Look at verse 20. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. And that's so true. Wicked people, when you're around wicked people, before I was saved, I was a wicked person. And I had a lot of nothing to say. But then once the Lord saved me, and when I was around other wicked people, and I hear the way they talk and hear what they say, I said, that's really worth nothing. It's worth little. Then you meet righteous people. You know, I got saved, and you start surrounding yourself with godly people, and man, aren't there those folks in your life that you just love being around them? And you could spend 5 or 10 minutes just sitting with them and talking with them, and after you leave, you feel like they've added value to your life. I love being around people like that. And he says that's a mark of a righteous individual, the way that they use their words, and it, no doubt it comes from a right heart with God, but the way that they speak, their words are like choice silver. They're of great value. We could look at it as righteous people use their words to encourage others, to build others up. We need more encouragers in the world. We definitely need more encouragers in the church. Sometimes there are some folks that you think they have the ministry of discouraging people. And you know those folks, every time you see them, you're like, because you know 5 minutes with them, you're going to feel like so discouraged. None of us can afford to be that way. The righteous, their words are like choice silver. That's how we want to be. That's what we should shoot for. That when we're around other people, we encourage them. Now, we're not going to be liars and flatterers. And certainly we can always think of negative things about people. We can always come up with something we don't like about people. That just comes natural. But is there anything good? Hey, your hair looks nice today. That's good. That's a good thing. Or to encourage people in the Lord. Instead of discourage people, focus on the good. You know, we could do much more with words of encouragement for others. Again, it's a mark of a righteous individual. You know, Paul, he told the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, you don't have to turn there. He says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. You know, so when Christians say, hey, is it okay to swear? Well, according to the Bible, no. Work on that dirty mouth. He says, let no corrupt, no bad words come out of your mouth. But what should come out of our mouths? He says, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearer. That's how righteous people are. They impart grace to the listener. Kindness, favor. A person feels just a sense of delight or joy within their soul after that engagement, that conversation. You know, words, they nourish souls. Look at verse 21. He says, the lips of the righteous feed many. It's interesting because that word feed in the original language, it is defined as to pastor or shepherd a flock. And if you think of a shepherd in the Old Testament, a shepherd tended to sheep and took care of them, fed them, led them to the streams of water for them to drink. A shepherd cared, he nurtured his flock. And this is how righteous people are. Righteous people, their lips, their words are used to nourish, to feed others, to build into other people's lives the things of God, the things of Christ. He also says, but fools, they die for a lack of wisdom, lack of common sense. Verse 31, the mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but a perverse tongue will be cut out. Another version or I'm going blank right now. It's not a translation, but it's a paraphrase. A paraphrase says this, the good man gives wise advice, but a liar's counsel is shunned. The same verse. And so the mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom or gives good advice. A lot of wonderful characteristics of righteous people. They add value, they nourish others, they give good advice. They use their words in a way to help others. Verse 32, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverse. In other words, the upright speak what is helpful. The wicked speak what is twisted. George M. Adams said this, there are high spots in all of our lives, and most of them have come about through encouragement from someone else. Isn't that true? When people have encouraged you, they've either given you good advice, they nourished your soul, which encouraged you, they were helpful in their words. You know, those highlights in our lives have been about, come from righteous people, people who really blessed us, and they stand out in your life. Think of a time when someone has said just a few words, and it's always stuck with you, and it really encouraged you. I'll never forget, years and years ago, I was at Shepherd School, and Pastor Bill Gallatin, he was teaching, and this was years ago when Shepherd School was different, perhaps. Most of you here probably don't even aren't familiar with Shepherd School. But anyway, at that time I was 23 years old. It was 21 years ago. And my walk with Jesus was like this. Any of you relate? So I said, Bill, this was after one of the sessions. I said, Bill, My walk is like a roller coaster. I have these highs and lows, and is it? And I was expecting this profound, but it was profound. It was profound to me. But I was expecting this long explanation. And you know what all he said? And I just was so ministered to by it. I just felt it was the Lord speaking right to me. He said, it'll just level out. And that was it. But you know what? It was true. It was true. And I'll never forget that. Now for you, it might not mean much, but for me, that changed my life. Just that, it was like 30 seconds. And I'll never forget, but I was so encouraged by that. And the way he said it, I just felt the faith behind it and the experience behind it, and I knew what he was saying was true. And for me, it certainly was. Now, we're going to wrap it up pretty much here. And we're going to wrap it up with this. We talk about words, we talk about using our words to build up and not tear down. I want to use this quote. Someone said, how do you identify someone who needs encouragement? How do you identify someone who needs encouragement? You know what the answer is? You can identify someone who needs encouragement if they are breathing. Words. Use them in a way that pleases God and helps others. And Father, we thank you so much for your faithfulness, your mercy, your grace, your kindness. We thank you for your word, your words of truth, the words of life, principles for living. I pray, God, that you continue to help us to live for your glory and honor all the days of our lives and use us to be encouragers of the truth, that we would speak the truth with love as you did Jesus, so that others are benefited. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.